Welcome to Lymphoma and Chronic Lymphocytic Leukemia Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. I met with Dr. Jeremy Abramson from Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston. And to begin, he commented on perhaps the most exciting new area of research development in oncology, including lymphomas and CLL, the use of immunotherapy.
It's been a very exciting time for new drugs in lymphoma across multiple different modalities. I think one of the exciting areas, as with all of oncology, has been with immunotherapy. And there are generally two separate classes of those agents. One are the immune checkpoint inhibitors that are, of course, all the rage in solid tumor oncology. But immune checkpoint inhibitors have great rationale in a number of different lymphoma subtypes. And one thing that we know about Hodgkin lymphoma is that virtually all cases of Hodgkin lymphoma have amplifications of 9p24, which includes the PD-L1 and PD-L2 loci, making it a rational target. And that PD-L1 and PD-L2 can be stained for immunohistochemically in virtually all Reed Sternberg cells in Hodgkin lymphoma. And so two different PD-1 inhibitors, nivolumab and pembrolizumab, have both been evaluated in multiply relapsed and refractory Hodgkin lymphoma and found to have very encouraging response rates, with about two-thirds of patients responding in both of those studies with either of those agents, many of those responses being quite durable. So the immune checkpoint inhibitors have been most exciting in Hodgkin lymphoma. There have been some subsets of non-Hodgkin lymphoma where they have been similarly encouraging. But obviously, the non-Hodgkin lymphoma is a very heterogeneous field, and so they're really quite distinct biologically as entities. Among those that have been quite interesting is primary mediastinal B-cell lymphoma. This is a high-grade B-cell lymphoma, a subtype of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, but one that has biological overlaps with classical Hodgkin lymphoma, including a high incidence of those 9p24 amplifications. And so it creates sound biologic rationale. And sure enough, in a small phase 2 study that was recently reported, there's a very high response rate in that specific subset of diffuse large B-cell lymphoma, while the response rate in DLBCL as a whole is overall quite low. Other areas in diffuse large B-cell lymphoma that have responded nicely are those that are associated with the Epstein-Barr virus. So as of today, the non-Hodgkin lymphomas that have appealing activity in B-cell lymphomas are primary mediastinal B-cell lymphoma and EBV-associated large B-cell lymphoma. And then the last entity with some recent data is a very difficult-to-treat T-cell lymphoma called extranodal NK T-cell lymphoma nasal type. This is a very aggressive T-cell lymphoma uniformly associated with the Epstein-Barr virus, and a small case series recently published in Blood shows a uniformly high response rate among these very refractory cases. So the checkpoint inhibitors are looking very appealing in Hodgkin lymphoma and select subtypes of non-Hodgkin lymphoma, though I wouldn't say across the board.
Of course, you know, a big issue in general with checkpoint inhibitors is predictors of response, which kind of hasn't really played out very well yet. Do you think that EBV testing is something that, from a practical point of view, to consider with some of the non-Hodgkin lymphomas to identify patients who might be treated?
I think right now that is an appealing strategy. I think we still need more information. But what we do know is EBV-transformed diseases, by the nature of the EBV infection, that does increase expression of PD-L1 and thus make it an appealing target. What we've seen in non-EBV-associated cases is there isn't an obvious association between PD-1 expression and response, and I know that's been reflected to some degree in solid tumors as well. So I think it's a potential starting point, but by no means is it the end of the story.
I've asked a number of investigators their hypotheses at a more biologic level about why, for example, Hodgkin lymphoma seems to respond so well. You kind of talked about it, the Reed Sternberg cells and the immune infiltrate around it, but people kind of haven't seemed to get too far beyond that and the chromosomal aberration that you talked about. In your own vision of the pathophysiology of Hodgkin lymphoma, what do you think is going on and why are checkpoint inhibitors so effective?
Well, I think Hodgkin lymphoma is such a unique disease biologically in that only about 1% of the tumor are the cancer cells. And so we've always known since the initial description of this disease that the dominant population are host inflammatory cells, which has long created this conundrum of how these cells are basically hiding in plain sight of immune cells that should be destroying them. And we've had some hints to that We've known that it's primarily a skewed infiltrate of CD4 cells and an increased presence of T regulatory cells, which are immune suppressive. We know that the Reed-Sternberg's itself cell secretes cytokines, which bring immune suppressive T cells to it rather than CD8 effector cells. And now several immune checkpoints have been identified, including, of course, PD-L1 and PD-L2, but also Galectin-1 and others. So it looks like the Hodgkin lymphoma cell, in my mind, is a bit of an evil wizard. It choreographs its own environment in a way to protect it from the host inflammatory response. I think immune checkpoint inhibitors in the form of PD-1 inhibition is potentially one tool to target that, but I think there are multiple immunosuppressive mechanisms at play here, so I don't think it's the only answer, and certainly is not the complete answer, as we know, because a number of patients will, in fact, either not respond or stop responding to the treatment.